said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem
finish in Sunday school, and we're going to dismiss our Abide junior and senior hires ahead now, too. Parents of first or sixth graders are going to pick your kids up in the fireside room today, but everybody else will be picked up in their normal places. So thank you guys for worshiping with us, and about those of you who are remaining, why don't you find someone right near you and say hello this morning.
Y'all just take your time. Just turn the lights out when you leave, if that's all right. Thank you. Appreciate that. I see a lot of students who've come back to us from college and other places. Let's welcome them. Great to see you guys. We love you. Well, church family, this has been a great week, and it's so good to be together. Remember, this is the week that we count our blessings, and so let's do that, and just remember the ways that God is blessing each one of us and blessing us as a church family, and we hope that you'll be with family or friends, but today we're together as one big family, and we're grateful you're here. we especially want to welcome you. If you're a new person, we would love to get to know you, and we hope you'll want to come back and connect with us if you're new. And I'll be at the door at the end of the service with Lee, and we hope that you'll come and say hi to us. And we're going to be downstairs for our coffee time after the service. In between services, we always have a party, and it's going to be downstairs, and we hope that you'll join us for that as well. This was a busy week. Yesterday, a few of us were out in Agora Hills with Habitat for Humanity of Greater Los Angeles. There was a build in one of the mobile home parks that was burned last year in the fires. About half of the park was burned, dozens of mobile homes, and we were repainting some that were damaged but not burned to the ground. There were about 70 people there, and about probably 65-70% of the people were Presbyterians from various churches around LA. So it was really fun to catch that. Some of you maybe saw us on the news last night. Apparently, there were clips of our group as we were working. So if you hear about Habitat Builds, we're going to be maybe doing more of that. I hope you'll sign up. It was just incredibly fun. Let's go through the church bulletin notes. If you look at the first two pages, there's a good summary for you of what's going on. A lot happening. We want to remind you that we're now able to download this Shelby Next app that allows us to have access to the full database of the church family. And also, we'll give you access to the calendar of the church in real time. Especially, that's great for you leaders in the church who are different committees, who are always looking to see whether there are conflicts on certain dates when you're planning events. So important for all of us to have that app, and it's explained right there in the bulletin notes just exactly how you download. So take a look and make sure you do that. Let's see. Today and every Sunday at 10:45, we have a Bible study up in the John Estell room, and that's a study of the Book of John with George Beeler, and you're most welcome. That's 10:45 upstairs off of the balcony. And today at noon, we're going to be serving a meal for the homeless. We're going to be at St. Mark's Episcopal Church in Glendale. Anybody who would like to be a part of that can join us. Go down, straight down there, or you can meet us in the parking lot at noon and head down. We'll be finished around 2:30 or so. Tonight and every Sunday night from 6 to 8 and beyond is the Young Adult Ministry that's at the Carey's House. Those of you who are back from college, I know they would love to see you there, so join them. That's for anybody post-high school to early 30s. And it starts with a Bible study, and they've got a whole meal for you waiting. Bistro 50 lunch is Tuesday. That's our lunch for anybody age 50 or older, and it's kind of a holiday theme with ham this month, so join us, and the staff will see you there. It's always a lot of fun, and there's a dance group from CFC that's going to entertain you after lunch. Tuesday night, this coming Tuesday, excuse me, next Tuesday is the Christmas with the Cruisers night. And they're going to be here in the sanctuary, and a group called Monday with JoJo's is going to be singing for them. Anybody can come. That's at 7:30. Again, that's a week from Tuesday. Some of you have seen, I'm sure all of you have noticed, there's a giving tree in the narthex that's sponsored by Children's Ministry. And the way it works is you take an ornament off the tree, and you can look and see there are different gifts that you can offer. Just turn that ornament in, the one that represents the gifts you want to give, and work with Children's Ministry, and you can give, for example, a goat, a cow, you can dig a well, you can maybe join in with other people to do something like that. That's a really fun way to kind of expand your giving at Christmas time. That's the World Vision Giving Tree out in the Narthex. And finally, last Sunday, remember, was Dedication Sunday, and we're in that season when we're building the budget for the next year, for 2020, and if you look in your the pew rack in front of you, there's a card there, the estimated giving card. If you didn't get a chance to fill one out, we encourage you to do that. You can put it in the offering plate when it comes by later. And just to explain how that all works, first of all, it's an estimate. If your financial situation changes throughout the year, of course, you can change the amount that you give. We're just asking for an estimate of what feel led by the Spirit to give. And the session, of course, uses the information that you give us as a signal from the Spirit about how we can build a budget for 2020 in response to God's call. So that's what that's about. Again, and when the offering plate comes by, you can just fill out that card. It'll probably take you 30 seconds, and you can put that in the plate when it comes by. Well, let's continue worshiping. We're excited about the message that God has given to us through action and through leading. So let's listen for the word of God.
Shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted another silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself. Said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said this, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. They all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. What grieved them most was his statement that they would never see his face again. Then they accompanied him to the ship, the word of God.
Well, in the chapter, the earlier part of chapter 20, Paul preaches so long overnight that Eutychus, one of the young men, I imagine he was actually sitting in a window, not probably not that high, probably like right there, but Eutychus falls asleep during his long sermon, falls to his death, and Paul goes and wakes him and, you know, revives him through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I promise this morning not to preach too long. But if you do see somebody fall over, just let me know. I'll stop and we'll take care of it. Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for this word. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for all of the people in Acts. Thank you for those first elders and overseers. And Lord, we pray that you'd teach us to love you with all of our hearts. And we pray that the good news would come not only in word, but in power, in the Holy Spirit, in full conviction. Well, this is our last sermon in the All In Acts series. Next week, we're going to be starting a sermon series called Unwrapping Our Spiritual Gifts. We're going to have kind of a Christmas, an Advent theme. We're going to be talking about what does it mean to live in this world and use the gifts God has given us. And so, at the end of the series, I'm always a little, I always wanted to go out with a bang, right? Because, I don't know if any of you, I wasn't a Game of Thrones fan, but apparently, the last season, particularly that, you know, those final episodes, people actually wrote into the, they signed a petition to have them completely redo the end of the series. They hated it so much, and if you watch shows like Lost or some of these shows where the last episode, you think they're going to wrap everything up, and of course, what do? They don't. And people get really angry about the end of series, and so this morning I feel a little extra pressure to make sure that we wrap things up, right, that you don't get a petition to ask somebody else to re-preach the sermon. Should that be a bad idea in general? But this morning I want to talk about how, what do we do now? What do we think, after we think about, we've talked about what God has called us to do through this series called All In, about how we can be all in for the kingdom of God, how we can really reach out. where he ended, where we end the book. And Paul is imprisoned in Rome, and that's how the book ends. But the gospel is, keeps on going. And so begin to think, well, what would be our parting words? What are Paul's parting words as he leaves this church in Ephesus that he loves so much? He spent 3 years there. What does he tell them? And so this morning, I want us to think about, what do we do with this all-in knowledge? What do we do with it? Where do we go from here? And so the first thing Paul says, if you want to turn with me to Acts chapter 20, those blue Bibles in the pew box in front of you are available. We're just going to kind of go through and look at Acts chapter 20. But the first thing that we see is that Paul, he calls in these elders. In fact, he uses the word that we get our word Presbyterian from, right? These are the elders that he calls from Ephesus. And he actually can't go to Ephesus. He's going to skip past it because he's got to make it to it. He's got another trip he's got to take. But he calls these people that he's loved. Remember, he spent 3 years there, night and day, he says, you know, teaching them. And he wants to give them a couple last sort of instructions. Just give them some encouragement about what's going to happen. And so what does Paul say? He says that now I'm going to be leaving. He says the Holy Spirit has called me to leave and go into, you know, go to Rome. And I'm going to be leaving this place. And what's waiting for me is imprisonment, is chains, is suffering, is struggle. These are what's going to happen. I'm going to be struggling. There's going to be all this stuff that's going to happen to me. And he says, but this is what he says. He says, I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must, and there's two parts here, that they must turn in God in repentance, and this is in verse 21. I have declared both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance. So that's number one. And they must have faith in the Lord Jesus. Repentance and faith. Repentance and belief. Those are just the two parts of this message. Now, this, if you go back to Luke, if you go to any of the... Ooh, that went... if you go back to Luke and see the message that Jesus himself preaches, it is a two-part message. Is God talking? There's a two-part message. It's really echoey here for me. Yeah. So there's two parts of Jesus' message. And guess what those two parts of Jesus' message always are? He preaches the kingdom of God. He says, I want you to repent from the way that you're going, and I want you to turn in me to me in faith. He says, you need to repent, and you need to believe. Now, this makes sense because Jesus gave his disciples this message. He says, you are going to go out and you're going to bear witness to the kingdom of God. You're going to bear witness to the resurrection. And what is our message to the world? Repent and believe, right? Repent and have faith. Turn from the way that you're going, and you can't really turn from the way that you're going without believing, right? These are two sides of the same coin. Now, the reason why I belabor this point is because what is Paul doing here? Paul is carrying on Jesus' ministry. He's doing exactly what Jesus did, right? Think about what Jesus did. He went around preaching about the kingdom of God. And Paul says he preaches the kingdom of God. He's going to bear witness to the kingdom of God. He preaches the kingdom of God. He tells people that they need to repent and they need to put their faith in Jesus. And at the end of his life, he's going to go suffer. Right? This should sound familiar. This is the pattern. Now, here's the thing. I think Paul and Jesus in some way set us up with a pattern of what our lives are like. We are to go about teaching about the kingdom of God. We are about calling people to repent and to put their faith in the Lord. But we should also be aware, be prepared. That's what Paul says, right? He says, what I've heard from the Holy Spirit is this. He says that in every city, he's told me that what is awaiting me there is chains and suffering. See, Christians, sometimes I think we feel like, as soon as we come to know Jesus, everything's going to be, peaches and ice cream, right? It's going to be great. It's going to be sunshine and lollipops every day. But what Luke tells us and what Jesus tells us and what Paul tells us is that we should be prepared for suffering. In fact, if you remember, one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible is in Philippians. And Paul gets really excited and he says, I want to know Jesus and I want to be transformed to his image and I want to share in his sufferings. Now, I love, Philippians is a great kid, and I love all the things he's like, I want to share in his resurrection. I want to share in his power. And I'm always like, yes, amen, I want to do that too. And then Paul says, but I want to share in his sufferings. And I said, well, Paul, I like those other things. I like power. I like resurrection. I like joy. Suffering's not so much. But what Paul realized is that what we have to do is when we join Jesus in his ministry, very often it takes us through the path of suffering, through the valley of the shadow of death. It's where it very often takes us. As a matter of fact, I listened to Caleb, and I'm not here to knock Caleb. It's a Christian music station broadcast locally here. And as I listen to the songs, I love them, but very often what they do, if you listen to Caleb very often, what you'll hear is a lot of songs that talk about how Jesus is with us in our sufferings, which is totally true, right? Which is absolutely 100% true. But what the New Testament talks more about is not Jesus with us in our sufferings, although that's true. What the New Testament talks about more is us joining Jesus in his sufferings. It's us moving out of the safety of these beautiful four walls and this wonderful cage that we kind of wanted to put God in. And he said, I want you to go out there because that's what you've been called to do. Would you be prepared for the suffering? This is what God has called us to. And if we're going to mimic Jesus, that's what we're going to do. And so Paul first talks about joining Jesus in his mission and joining Jesus in his sufferings. I think about this all in sermon series, and there's been a lot of wonderful things, but very often I feel like as we close it, we need to be prepared to join Jesus, to do what he's called us to do, just as Paul did. Now, the second thing that he wants us to do is be watchful. Remember, he's called the elders, right? And just like we have elders at our church who are really charged with the spiritual well-being of this flock, this flock of sheep right here at LCPC. I mean, that's what elders do, right? They oversee that. And what does he tell the elders of the church, the ones who are responsible? He says, I want you to watch out. I want you to be careful. I want you to keep on looking. He says in verse 28, he says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Right? We could say this just about our same elders here at LCPC. He says, be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood, because I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you, and they will not spare the flock. And even from your own number, men will arise, and we could say men, women too. Men and women will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. You see, what Paul realizes is that we're going to face divisiveness. We're going to face teaching that strays from the teaching that Paul has been giving them. Remember, Paul was with them in Ephesus for 3 years, which is the same amount of time it takes to go to seminary, right? So they basically had a seminary education with Paul, you know, teaching them how to pray and teaching them how to read the scriptures and going with them through the Old Testament and telling them all about the things that the promises that God made in the Old Testament about how they came true in Jesus. And he's going to say, they're going to become people later, after I leave, when I'm no longer able here to be with you, there are going to come people who will try to distort the truth. There are going to come people, even in your midst, who are going to come up and maybe even distort the truth or try to split us up or divide us. And he says, you need to be watchful. And he doesn't just say to the elders, he doesn't just say, now watch your flock. What does he say? He says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves and watch out for each other. What is this? It's all about community, right? We love one another enough to watch out for myself, right? Which is what we should do. Paul wants us to initiate a neighborhood watch for each other, to care for each other and to share with each other, to look out for each other, to understand, to just to be careful about what comes in. And not only that, but not just what comes in from without, but what comes out from within. So, at this point, modern Americans get nervous when I start talking about neighborhood watch, don't we? Because that means I sort of need to watch out say that, they're not your friend. They're not. Right? Your family, right? We have family, and our families can, you know, your mom can call you up and say what you said to your brother was hurtful. You should take that back. You know, there should be some forgiveness. Right? That's what families do. But what's the standard, right? How do we know how to watch out? I mean, that's the question, right? If people are going to come and distort the truth, if we not only from without, but from within, if we have people who are distorting the truth and stirring things up, what is our standard? What do we measure that truth by? Right? In verse 32, Paul says this: "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." What's he saying? He said to commit you to God, who is ultimately in charge of his church, who's ultimately going to take care of his church, and I commit you to his word. And it's not just for Paul, right? That would have been the Old Testament, but it's more than that. It's the Old Testament that he's taught them how to read. And it's the story of Jesus himself. How do we know what's true and what's not? Well, we compare it to the truth. So here, I know you're going to say, Lee, are you going to tell us to read and study the Bible? Yeah. I mean, that's what we do. And the reason why we study the Bible is not because it's some kind of magic book or something like that. It's not filled with incantations to tell us how to get close to God or how to get God to do what we want him to do. It's a word that shows us the truth about who Jesus is. And we compare all the statements, all the sort of things that come in from without and from within, and we compare them to the Jesus we see. Right? And I'm not just talking about the Jesus we want to see. The Jesus we've sort of crafted and curated in our own image. Right? But the Jesus in the Gospels. And not only the Jesus in the Gospels, but how this Old Testament that tells us all about this Jesus in the Gospels. See, if we're going to stand in these dangerous times, we're going to need to stand in the word of his grace. We're going to need it. It's going to have to permeate every part of our speech and our language. And when you hear Paul talk, he's always, almost every other word out of his mouth feels it's he's borrowed it from the Old Testament, right? The word is in his heart and it's transforming him. But lastly, I think there's something that the real reason I picked this verse was not for those reasons, because as I was reading those popped out, but it was this last thing. Once again, remember, we want to, commit ourselves to the mission of God. We want to allow community to shape us and mold us. We want to watch out for each other and initiate our neighborhood church watch, you know. We want to do that. But what marks us out? Something that you see at the very end. It says, when Paul had finished speaking, he knelt down with all of them and prayed. And it says, and they all wept as they embraced him and kissed him. This was a wonderful picture. Paul knows that they're not going to see him again, that he knows that the path that he's going on will more than likely lead to his death in Rome. And he's prepared for that. He's prepared to share in the sufferings of Jesus so that, he said in Philippians, that he might also attain to the resurrection of the Son of God. He's prepared to do that, but as he leaves, he has to say goodbye to these people that he's loved and shared with for 3 years. And so what is their response? They weep with each other. You see, there's genuine love and affection within this community. Watching out for each other, but what's the basis for that? It's love. It's sacrificial love, right? That's what Paul talks about. He talks about how hard he worked so that he wouldn't be a burden to them. He talks about how he constantly worked night and day and with tears and with humility that made an impact on them. They loved one another profoundly and deeply. And I'm not, I mean, I think LCPC is a wonderful place, and this week, I would like for you to take time every day and to begin to write a gratitude journal. Or it doesn't have to be. It could be on a napkin, or it could just be in your head when you wake up in the morning. You don't have to physically do it. I mean, it's better if you do it. But I want you to start giving thanks for people. And I want you to start thinking about the people and try to pick a few every day and just say, God, I want to start my day with gratitude. And I particularly want to be grateful for the people that you have put in my life. And I want you to do that for a few days. And here's the thing I want you to do when we get to Thursday. Because that's easy, because I can look around this room and go, oh, this person's been so nice to me. This person, you know, let me borrow the car. This person, you know, visited me in the hospital. It's all real. You know, those are easy people to give thanks for, aren't they? But I want you to pick somebody maybe you don't know well. Or maybe even somebody that's hard to love. Right? I was trying to think of a political way of saying that. You know, somebody that's a jerk. Right? And so you're all writing my name. They're all like, yeah, Lee Cook. There you go. Well done. Whoever you. But really, begin to be grateful. And so that might take some work on your part. It might mean going to somebody who is their friend and saying, you know, and do it, you know, politely, do it, and even secretively, but begin to say, you know, this person that I have problems with, think about all the things that God is doing in and through them. And begin to be grateful for it. What happens when we are grateful, when we are thankful, is that God begins to transform us and change us. Gratitude is the basic human response to God. Right? God is God, and He's given us all these great things, and our response to Him should always be gratitude. So this morning, I just want you to begin this week, this whole season, with just gratitude. Be thankful for people, and you maybe even take it a step further and send them a note. Say, you know what? I prayed for you today, and I'm so grateful for these things for you. And I wonder if we all did that in this room, how Jesus would begin to change us and transform us and make us into a community that is so tightly knit that when we lose someone from that community, it feels like losing an appendage. It feels like losing an arm or a foot. Like that's how close we are. That's how close they were with Paul. The idea that he would be gone from them and taken away was as if they were losing a valued appendage of their body. They needed him and they loved him. And did you hear what it said? It says the thing that made them saddest was that they knew they would never see him again. That's what broke their hearts. You see, God wants his church to be a powerful force in this world. And in fact, when we look at the book of Acts, that's exactly what they were. In fact, Jesus says not only are they a powerful force in the world, they are the most powerful force in the world. Jesus says of his church, this is my church, and the gates of hell will not stand against my church. Right? The image is that the church is marching on hell itself, and the gates can't hold it out. The gates of hell cannot hold us out if we're all in. Let's pray. Father, we just hope this will be a time to kick off this week with thanksgiving, with gratitude, with humility, with the Spirit leading us. So as we worship, just give God all that you are, all that's in you.
Thank you. thank you for this life.